Now, suppose I've listened. Well, I know I've listened twice, maybe three times this past week to Jim's message on humility that was brought here one of those Sundays that we were away. And I came out of it saying, Lord, help me. I hope everyone hung on to that message. It was a digging message and a very important message. It was important to me. And I hope everyone hung on to that, and we'll learn how to be more humble, how to walk more softly before God. I want to read a few verses from the 49th chapter of Genesis, verses 22 through 26. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, under the utmost bound of the everlasting hill. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. It's Genesis 49, verses 22 through 26. The occasion of this passage was when Jacob, just before his death, when he had finished this, he gathered up his feet into the bed with him and was gathered to his fathers. This was his last message to his family. It's important. Blessings in those days from parents were very important things. You remember it was said of Esau that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. That blessing was worth something. And here's Jacob blessing his children, pronouncing his blessings upon his family just before he died. And the greatest blessing of all fell on Joseph. Now this was humanly speaking the most unlikely one of the bunch for it to fall on. Having been sold as a slave and having been hated by his brethren, Scripture said they got to where they couldn't speak peaceably with him. Just full of bitterness toward him. And it would seem that such a blessing as is pronounced here would surely have fallen somewhere else beside on him. Humanly speaking, the most unlikely one of the bunch. But God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And he pronounced far-reaching blessings here through Jacob upon Joseph. Joseph was a faithful man. Joseph was godly. And Joseph, in the face of all kinds of persecution and hardship and strong temptation, stood true to the principles of righteousness and loved God right on. God rewarded him for that. God will reward you for that. God will reward anybody for that. And will stand true to the principles of righteousness in the face of whatever. I brought a little message here last Sunday. I got started on one. About victorious living. Triumphant living. Power to ride right over everything. And have victory. Be a child of God. I want to talk some more about that this morning. And here's what I call a good foundation for some more comments along that same line. Now he says Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. You and I are by a well too. The Scripture says, with joy they'll draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
Jesus said, if any man believe on him, out of his innermost being would flow rivers of living water. Again he said, if any man will drink of this water that I'll give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You're by a well too, but are you a fruitful bough? Are you a fruitful vine? You're by a well. You have every opportunity. You have all privileges of divine grace that God is able to afford to you. The Scripture says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul tells us that those riches of Christ are unsearchable. That gives God an inexhaustible supply to draw on to supply all of our needs spiritually, physically, temporally, every kind of way. To supply all of our needs. But are we getting them? We're by a well, all right, but are we fruitful? Are we abounding in the grace and love of Christ like we should? Now, he said his branches run over the wall. I'm told that a vine, the branches of it will extend out just as far as the roots go underneath the ground. And here's some branches running over the wall. Folks, in this blessing that was pronounced upon Joseph, they just went out of bounds. They went to the ends of the earth. The blessings of the human race and the Messiah is included in here. Beyond the mountains and the everlasting hills, even to eternity. His branches ran over the wall. They went outside the bounds of the Jewish race. Christ tasted death for every man. God placed on him the iniquity of us all. And all of this is included in this blessing pronounced here upon Joseph. In the 80th Psalm, in verse 8, he says that thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it. Oh, folks, Jesus wants to prepare room for you to expand in, increase in, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for you to be enlarged in. He said, thou preparedst room before it, and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Listen, God wants you and me to be a city set on a hill where we live. Every one of us to be the light of our community, to cast out an influence for good and for God. Manifest the grace of God in all of our circumstances and conditions in life.
Amen.
Just be a city set on a hill where you live, you individually, personally. He spoke that about the church, but he wants that to be true of every individual in the church. That where you live, you're a light of your community, and you're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. It just filled the whole land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the seas, and her branches unto the river. Went out through the roots reached out to the river, and the branches went out to the river. Just really abundant living. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want us to catch the vision of and grasp in our perspective, is abundant living. Living on top of everything, above it all, power over all the powers of the enemy. Victory in every circumstance and condition of life. Now God has that kind of victory for you. I was just thinking this morning, I've thought this many times before, but I was just thinking this morning that everything we read in God's Word, God has grace to help you and me to come to that.
Amen.
To help us to possess that. We possess it through His grace and through faith. And He has the provision through His grace to bring us right up to everything that He's written in the Word of God.
Amen.
Now he says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength. Let me tell you, folks, people don't have to be patting you on the back and singing your praises and exalting you to high heaven for you to have victory. You can have victory when they cast your name out as evil.
Amen.
You can have victory when they snub you, and when they resent you and treat you with contempt, and even if they spit in your face and say all manner of evil against you, You can still have victory. God has victory for every child He has. That's the vision I want us to get of God's grace and of God's power and strength in our lives and of our ability to fulfill that through the grace of God and be victorious. But His bow abode in strength, and the arms of His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And He's referring back here. He says, from thence is the shepherd the stone of Israel. And He's remembering back the night that He wrestled with the angel of God through the night, and that God blessed him and changed his name from Jacob to Israel that very night. And He said that it is that same God that strengthened the hands of Joseph through all of this that he endured and went through with, his own brethren grieving and shooting at him and hating him. He says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. And through Ephraim and Manasseh, God blessed Joseph beyond his brethren. When the first census was taken, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, which stood for Joseph in the overall counting up of the 12 sons of Israel, they stood for him. They had 72,700. There was only one of the 12 that was greater than that number, and that was Judah, had 74,700, 2,000 more. But God blessed Joseph with progeny beyond his brethren. Says, he bless you. And that was considered a great blessing in those days, to have a good number of sons. Who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now, I've copied a quote here from Adam Clark, and I like his comments on this 26th verse. He says, the blessings which thy father now prays for and pronounces are neither temporal nor transitory. They shall exceed in their duration the eternal mountains, and in their value and spiritual nature, all the comforts, conveniences, and delicacies which the everlasting hills can produce. They shall last when the heavens and the earth are no more, and shall extend throughout eternity. They are the blessings which shall be communicated to the world by means of the Messiah. Then he continues with a quote from the Jerusalem Targum. That's one of the ancient manuscripts. He says, he paraphrases this place thus: the blessings of this father, that is his immediate father, shall be added unto the blessings wherewith thy fathers Abraham and Isaac, who are likened to mountains, have blessed thee, and they shall exceed the blessings of the four mothers, Sarah, Rebekah, Rachel, and Leah, who are likened to the hills. All these blessings shall be a crown of magnificence on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was a prince and governor in the land of Egypt. Now, I call that great. I like that quote there. And the perspective that it affords me and you. And God's blessings were rich on this man because right in the face of severe tests and trials and provocations and persecutions and hatred and strong temptation, he stood true to God and true to the principles of righteousness, and God blessed him beyond any other blessing that I would know. And I could read in the Old Testament. God's ready to bless you like that too, with an abundant life. Just a full blessing, an overflowing of the divine grace of God in your life. In Romans 8 chapter, in verse 35 through 39, the Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded. God help you and me to have some persuasion like this man had. It was the persuasion that he had. It was strong enough and deep enough to carry him through. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but in my mind, the Apostle Paul suffered more in the flesh than any other man we have any record of in the New Testament, except Jesus Christ himself. And in my mind, he was the greatest of the apostles. He was a spiritual giant. He overrode everything. Nothing that come against him could daunt his spirit, could cast him down, could overthrow him. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, or height, or depth, or any other creature. Oh, how all encompassing and all enveloping this is. It covers everything. And then after he had named everything he could think of, he said, any other creature, anything else beside these that belong to time and sense and pertain to this world and to our temporal lives. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Now folks, that's abundant living. But we have available to us the same source of grace that Paul had available to him. And we have available to us the same source of power that Paul had available to him. It's learning to apply it. Learning to appropriate it to our needs. There is the supply for victory there. God has victory for every child he has. And there's a supply for victory there in the economy of God's grace, just learning to appropriate it and applying ourselves and getting a hold of that would bless our lives and raise us up above everything that would hinder us in being what God wants us to be. Paul said, shall tribulation, shall famine, pestilence, sword, nakedness, peril, shall any of these things separate us from the love of God, then he gives us this persuasion that he had, that none of these things or anything that he might have forgotten to mention that belonged to this temporal world and time and sense could separate us. He says, nay, but in all these things. That little word in is the key word right there, folks. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
In. We get an idea of God delivering us out of the trials and temptations and provocations and things that come against us in life. But Paul had a deeper perspective than that. He had a deeper sense and knowledge of God's grace than that, right in it, with it going on all around us. And we're right in the middle of it. We're more than conquerors. That's victory all the time. Victory all the way through. If Paul would have had to have waited to be delivered out of those kind of things before he had victory, he'd have never had it. He'd have died without it. It followed him all the way to his end, and he died a martyr's death with his head being severed from his body for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Right in all these things. I thought about Jericho and what God said to the children of Israel, the instruction he gave Joshua, how for them to carry on that battle there, and what their strategy would be, and they were to march around the city one time each day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they were to march around in formation with the priests going ahead and the elders coming after them and the people, the hosts of Israel, following up. They were to march around 7 times that day. Then when they had marched around 7 times, the trumpeters were to blow the trumpets. They did that. The wall's still standing intact. Not a crack in the wall. Everything's been done right up to now but one thing, and that a shout. Well, but the walls are still up there. What are we going to shout about? But God said shout. And when the people shouted, the walls came tumbling down. Folks, I say to you this morning that by faith, we can shout down some walls that we can't knock down otherwise.
Amen.
We can obtain victories that we haven't been able to obtain otherwise. When we learn to shout with the wall still standing and the trial and the provocation and the temptation still right there in front of us, and we're in the midst of it, but we can shout and shout the victory. We've learned a great lesson of gaining victory. Opal was real bad off of shingles one time when we lived down in California. Well, the Carver came out to pray for her. He and Sister Carver flew out there. And they stayed 2 or 3 days, and they'd pray day and they'd pray night. And when Hope would get to suffering, it was Evelyn that had the shingles. I was thinking it's further back than that. Well, all right. Excuse me. And she'd get to suffering in the night, and we'd go call Brother and Sister Carver, and they'd come in and pray. And so one night, Brother Carver came in and had prayer. Said, "Shout the victory, sister." She says, "I can't." Still hurts. He said, "Shout the victory anyway." But it's still hurting. Don't pay any attention to it. Shout the victory. And Evelyn shouted, and the pain went out of her body. Praying didn't move it, but shouting the victory did. And I think it was that afternoon, Evelyn went with us to the airport to take them to fly back to Shreveport. And if you and I can get this kind of perspective and live in this atmosphere and breathe this kind of air, we can get a lot of victories that we fail to get otherwise. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 8 and verse 11 with that, verses 9 and 10 are a parenthetical statement in there that we don't need right now for the point, but he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, being enriched to all bountifulness to the glory of God." Yeah. Folks, that's all encompassing too. That's all enveloping. That's sweeping victory. God is able to make all grace. What's our perspective of God? How do we size up His abilities? That's going to affect our ability to trust Him. Amen. In the severe circumstances of life. Now that word "always" means at all times, ever, continually, invariably, uniformly. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, at all times, ever, continually, continual victory. It isn't an up and down matter for a child of God at all. If he avails himself of all the grace and ability and strength that God has for him, it is not an up and down, in and out experience for him at all. It's a continual thing. A steady, forward, progressive thing. Continually, invariably, uniformly. I used to mow the grass and weeds on the campground quite often down there at Pacoima when I was living there. And the mower had a governor on it. Some places the grass was just real thin and you just walk along through it and cut as you go. And some places it is real thick. Heavy. Tough grass too, and hard to cut. But I noticed that when I hit those places, I'd been going through these thin spots and just mowing and walking and hit those places that the mourn kind of falter a little and cough a little, and that governor would throw in and just pour in more fuel into the carburetor and speed the thing up. You walk right on through that, just like you've been going through that sparse grass. Folks, God has a way and a means of getting grace to you and me when we need it. And it isn't tough going all the time, but it is sometimes. Let's don't rule that out. We're going to have some tough times. But we can just move right along and be going on and everything pretty lovely and no special trials or tests, and just run head on into a severe kind of condition. The thing to do, now he says God gives grace to the humble. When you run into something like that, just humble your heart. Go right down before God. Submit to him. The governor will open up in your soul and pour in some more grace. And you can take that in stride too. Just go right on through that too. But you always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, being enriched in all bountifulness to the glory of God. God wants you and me to be able to live bountiful lives. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yes,
let us not be satisfied, any of us, with just living. But let us be reaching out for abundant living. That more abundant life. That victorious, triumphant living. Able to ride right over all the powers of the opposition, having power in our souls over all the powers of the enemy, to live victoriously and triumphantly regardless of what our conditions and circumstances are. Now, that's great, I think, don't you?
Amen.
But I remind you again in closing, because I'm going to close at this point. The clock's going around there. But I remind you again that whatever God has written in his word for you and me, he has sufficient grace in his economy to enable you and me to reach that. And come right up to that and fulfill that. And to have power over all the powers of the enemy, because he said he'd give it to us. Let us possess it by faith. And let us count in terms of victory. Think in terms of victory. Amen.